be seated. Would you please turn with me now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. We're going to read from verse 31. Down to verse 40. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We know the Lord will bless His own precious word to our hearts tonight. Let's please bow before the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father, we come now to the closing moments of our service with the word, the everlasting, eternal word, the Scriptures open. And now, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be open to the word. I pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God, that unction from heaven to speak as the Lord's messenger in the message of God. And Father, I pray that not only as I speak, but these dear people need grace to hear, to listen. They need the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and write it upon every heart. Lord, give understanding tonight, we pray, and draw near and bless us in all things we ask. Jesus' worthy name. Amen. As we make our plans and we consider the direction that we are going to be going in life, the things we have to do, it can at times seem rather mundane, especially when you read a portion of Scripture like this. The reason being is that presented to us in Matthew 25 is the end of all things. Not just the end of one life, but the end of all time as we know it in a human sense. And men and women from every nation, from every kingdom, from every era and age of time, have now come to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ in all His glory. And there He is seated on the throne of His glory. And come to pass and to fulfillment the words of the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 2, that every knee will bow before Him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will not be one knee that does not bow. Some will bow willingly. Some will bow under duress. Those who bow before the Lord Jesus Christ willingly are those who are truly saved by His grace. Those whom the Lord depicts here are separated on His right hand to receive blessing, reward, perhaps most of all and most well received will be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is the longing of my own heart. And I am sure that for every earnest believer tonight, that must be the longing of your soul. You want your life to be meaningful. You want your life to be spent for the honor of King Jesus. And if your life mounts up to anything else than that, well, we could say it was not profitable, not really meaningful. We want our life to be so that it brings glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how we will do that in this life, because, dear friend, we only have this life to do that until we receive our everlasting and eternal reward before we come to stand before Him. So when I bring this back down now to the, well, what are you going to do tomorrow morning? What will you be doing on Tuesday morning? Well, if you're a student, you'll be getting back into our school. If you are a teacher, you'll be found in the classroom. Many of you in your workplace and what you're engaged in and having to be involved in your livelihood, that's where you'll be. Not tomorrow morning, likely. It's a holiday. We'll wait till Tuesday morning. You'll get in there. But there is an aspect to life that can be considered to be very ordinary. Very much just, well, the same thing as I did yesterday, I will do today. Don't allow that, by the way, to grip your heart too strongly, because that's not a good way to think. For the child of God, every day is a brand new day of opportunity. Every day is a new time which God has granted to us by His everlasting grace to live for Him. And so, if we approach a new day and say, "Lord, I will never live this day again. I certainly have never lived it before. It's now an occasion, an opportunity for me to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus." But we also have to face the reality that many times the things that we do in our lives, they may be more self-centered than they are necessarily other-centered. Now, there are many things that we have to do on our own. There are many things that we do because it's necessary to live in life and to operate and to function with normality. We make plans. We have desires, we have goals and hopes and interests, and we are advised in the Scripture to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. But here is where the great clash comes in between a Christian trying to seek to do the will of God and the pull of the world that says, "Look, you've got to live your life for yourself. You've got to fulfill the goals and aims and aspirations that you have because you don't have maybe very long to live. You have many things you have to do. You have to accomplish these things." And I say the word of warning for us is be careful about being overly self-centered, because those things will not last the test of time and for eternity. Look, we know that every generation has been battling with that issue about self and pride and putting the individual forward. But I don't think there has been any generation like the one we have now that has been so facilitated toward that. And because of the technology that we enjoy, and we take benefit from that in this very service that we have tonight. We enjoy the technology of using the internet to have the message, the Word of God, and going out over, well, over the world for that matter. But there are areas in which it has become very much a me-ism generation. And people take great delight in presenting all that they are doing and that they are involved in. And so while there is benefits to social media and benefits to areas of operation, the Facebook phenomena that has gripped this generation has really been one that, to a large degree, has a danger, at least, of drawing a person in to think a lot about self and a lot about me and a lot about what I had for breakfast or what socks I'm wearing today. And the things that people post very often on Facebook are very much, well, silly. We have to be very careful about this. In a me-ism generation, we had a poster that was in our school a few years ago, and it had the idea of encouraging teamwork. And so the slogan said, "There's no I in team." In other words, we have to all work together. But one smart aleck student said, "Yes, but there is me in team." And so he found a way out of that after all. Well, that's not the way it should be. The danger is that we can be overly consumed with self, and God and others can too often take a distant second place. This is a caution for us. This is something that we have to be aware of and also to be careful about. And when it gets to the extreme, well, the Apostle Paul said, "Well, ye have not so learned Christ." And I know that the application of that might be in another context, but still the point is this. If we are admonished to seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us, there is an emphasis in the Word of God that we are to set the Lord first in our lives. We are to set other people and their needs before our own. To have joy, as the little word says, Jesus first and others and yourselves last. It's not a bad thing to remember. It should be an encouraging thing for us. And so the Lord is teaching here in Matthew 25 about the kingdom of God. This is mentioned clearly. He says that really you need to be sure that you are ready and willing to use your talents for His glory and to be actively living each day with a selfless attitude of serving. So we need to be ready and willing and serving. Those are parts of our life. I want to think with you tonight and focus on this subject of serving under the title Service to Others is Service to Christ. Service to others is service to Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to think about is this, that this service that Jesus highlighted here in this context is a service that is found in ordinary things. Look at what it says. Verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." So here are things: eating, drinking, shelter, clothing, health care, compassion. the basic things of life, wouldn't you say? These are the common things of life, and God provides these things for a world through what is called His common grace. The rain falls on the just ones and also on the unjust ones. And though they are ordinary, they are very much the necessities of life, and in giving, providing, we hear the Lord say, "Freely ye have received, freely give." It is to be a part of the very thinking and heart of the child of God that we have received such blessing from the Lord. We have received bounty upon bounty and grace upon grace. Therefore, let us not be slack and slow in giving back. They are ordinary in this sense that they are still necessities of life and the providing of these things. You know, in service to God, it is seen in these common and yet necessary and the physical things of life. And if they apply, if the Lord is taking these things and He is saying, "You have done these for me, and therefore you will receive a reward." If the Lord is going to simplify this and take it right down to the natural, how much more, my dear friend, is it going to apply to these spiritual parts of giving the spiritual food of the Word of God, of giving that spiritual encouragement that we have to, that we need to give one to another in the body of Christ? You see, life on this earth is but a stepping stone into eternity. And actions here, why they will impact the next world. And our attention to spiritual matters, it should be times more than the temporal things. Eating the bread of life, drinking the water of life, being under the shelter and protection of the eternal God, being clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, having His salvation on, and desiring that others would also be clothed and sheltered in that, giving the Word of God out freely to maintain good spiritual health, encouraging others by acts of compassion. See, all of these things, my dear friends, are part of what the Lord Jesus called the service of ordinary things in life. I wonder, could we ask ourselves the question now, how has our service been? How are we doing? If you were to look in the mirror and say, "Have I been a true servant of the Lord this past week? Have I been a giving individual? Or have I been on the receiving end, making demands that are demands of other people, those near us, selfish demands? Things that will make me happy, things that will center on the me-ism of this day in which we live. Are we affected by that? Can we be influenced by those things in a negative way? Because as the Spirit of Christ is blossoming in us and His fragrance is about us, there is no doubt that we will want to live as He lived, in a selfless life of service to others. Notice, please, secondly, that this service will be defined by everyday actions. One thing that struck me here as I was looking at this, there's nothing great included here in what the Lord was saying. There is nothing here to be found of a Moses leading people, Israel, through the Red Sea. You don't find here about slaying a giant with one stone. You don't find anything here about calling down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, or either trekking into some foreign mission field to take the gospel as a David Livingstone. But, my dear friend, it is found in the faithfulness of everyday actions. And these things are the things that show your love and obedience to the Lord who created you and the Savior who died for you. Some years ago, Ken Connolly was here at a conference in our church, and he spoke a message that has resonated with me. In the course of that message, he used an illustration. It was a personal one. He was visiting at a church to speak, and while he was staying in the home of some of the people in the congregation, they had gone off to work for the day, and he was left by himself, and they said, well, come on down, make yourself a lunch, whatever you have to do, help yourself, be at home. And so he was up in his room studying, and then he would come down at lunchtime, and he made himself a sandwich, began to eat. And as he was washing up his dishes, he was standing at the sink, and he saw a plaque there. It was rather simple. It said, not somehow, but triumphantly. Not somehow, but triumphantly. So he washed the dishes. He said he went back up to his room and he started to study again, but he couldn't concentrate. He couldn't get back to his study because that word kept coming back to him. Not somehow, but triumphantly. And he went back downstairs and he stood there at the sink and he looked at that sign. He said, why is that sign here? I might expect to find that sign at the church door, maybe. I might expect to find that sign encouraging people as they're going out on outreach, going out to serve the Lord on door-to-door work, which is difficult to do, not somehow, but triumphantly. But no, it was at this lady's sink in her kitchen, right in front of her. And as he began to think about this, he said the Lord really impressed upon his heart that it's not the great things done for God that are going to be seen as the triumphant things. It's the things that we do every day in living in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's those mundane things, as we term them, it's those things that we go about doing day to day, and we might see them as being nothing things, really. And yet as we come to approach these matters, it is not to see them as just, I'm not going to be concerned about them, but I'm going to do them triumphantly. I'm not just going to get through life. I'm not just going to somehow go through. I'm going to triumphantly go through by the power of God. That's how we are to live our life, our Christian life. It is by the Holy Spirit that abides within us that enables us every day to accomplish things that other people might think are normal and ordinary. But those ordinary things with the power of God become great things, and the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledges them here. You have done it unto me when you have done it to one of the least of these my servants. Not somehow, but triumphantly. Yes, much of our Christian life is seen, my dear friends, in the ordinary activities of every day. Because many of us will not do any great things for the Lord. Certainly not great things as they're defined by what we've mentioned here of what Moses was given to do, of leading a people through the wilderness and the Red Sea. We're not going to be able to accomplish the many things. We're not going to bring too many giants down, at least not in a physical sense. But the Lord has called us to live faithfully and humbly before Him. And these things are seen in the small issues of life, in how we treat other people, in taking time for those who have need, in interrupting our busy, busy schedule of all the things we have to do, and we make our lists and we've got, and yet when those things are interrupted, how do we respond? How do we react? Are we happy to say the Lord has redirected my path to help someone in this situation? Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of being so focused and concentrating on the things that I have to do, things I have to accomplish, that sometimes those little things are an annoyance. They interrupt me. I have to say, Lord, please forgive me for my ill manners, Forgive me for my hard-heartedness. Forgive me for the times in which I have failed to take an opportunity that the Lord is talking about here in Matthew 25. Because the righteous stand back and said, Lord, we don't deserve this. When have we ever done all these things for you? We never saw you hungry and in prison. We didn't see you thirsty and gave you drink. But you did it, the Lord Jesus said. You did it unto me. Because, my dear friend, and this is my third point for you tonight, this that the Lord Jesus was talking about was unnoticed by the doer. A life that is alive to God will be lived not with forced obedience or dutiful compliance. It's not with a, well, I must serve others in order to be accepted by God. No. It is the Lord Jesus in the heart. That's at the heart of the matter. And if we have the mind of Christ in us, that is, my dear friends, the motivating principle that's going to carry us on and push us forward. And it's by as we see what He has done for us, and we look upon the Savior and we say, oh God, make me more conform to Him. Make me more like my Savior in His thinking. Let the mind of Christ be in you. That's a great prayer to pray every morning. I must remind myself to pray it. That we would have the Lord with us, that we would understand how He was selflessly giving of Himself, and that we might pray, Lord, help me to have that same spirit and attitude. There are many times, my dear friends, when you're not going to be able to do it. But you know, if it's in your heart to do it, the Lord takes the will for the deed. He takes your good intention as if you've already accomplished the deed, even though you couldn't do it for one reason or another outside your control. The Lord will bless your heart devotion toward Him. He calls us to live peaceably with all men, and He wants us to honor Him in doing extra, going the second mile. You know, folks, that when they're asked to do something, they oblige. And it's no problem for them. And they're only happy to do that and more. And then there are other folks of us. And when they're asked to do things, it's hard. And maybe it's a little bit of grudging because it's going to intrude upon time. Sometimes the smallest things seem to be insurmountable. Well, may the Lord give grace and forgiveness. And I believe this is a point where many of us need to come to the Lord and say, oh God, forgive me for my bad manners. Forgive me for my hard-heartedness and just the fact I'm blocked out. I don't see the way of the Lord clearly. I need to see it with the clarity that comes by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you and I can be just like a Trojan horse Christian. One that has to be pushed around and may look good on the outside, but doesn't have much good on the inside. May God deliver us from that. We need a life of serving others. That's a heart of true Christianity, and it's one that is spontaneous, often unnoticed action of a true follower of Christ. So let's pray for the mind of the Savior to be in us. Who Himself, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He humbled Himself and was brought down. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant that was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Duncan Campbell, a man who was used by God in the Lewis Revival of 1949-1950, he said that the most powerful legacy of the Christian is their unconscious influence. And when I heard him say that in a sermon that I listened to, a recorded sermon, he meant by that not to put on when others are watching, not to pretend, but to live continuously even when no one but God is watching. And he said, your unconscious influence, just the way you are living your life for the Lord Jesus, is going to have a greater impact on people than those things we do when, well, we have to do them, or we must do them, the obligation and the duty of it all. But my dear friend, though these things were unnoticed by the doer, my final thought for you is that they were not unnoticed by the Lord. This word from Jesus proves the point, and the day of reckoning that would come was a time of account, and this service, it will be rewarded. Verse 34 says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And so, my dear friend, I bring you this word tonight, and I pray that the Lord will help us all to take it to our heart. And to each one of us would pray, Lord, teach me how I can do more. Teach me how I can be a better servant. And give me a servant's heart. And that we would all of us pray that in this fellowship we would be marked as a God-fearing, Christ-exalting, Christian-loving fellowship. That would be a marked difference. And that the smallest thing is not too much, or the largest thing, rather, is not too much for us to do. So the question is, how can I live this way? How do I break the habit of selfishness? Well, certainly, the Lord Jesus must be in the heart. And maybe I'm talking to someone here tonight and you're not a believer, you're not saved, either here in the church or maybe listening online. Well, my prayer, my encouragement to you is seek the Lord with all your heart. Come to Him in repentance and faith. Come and call upon Him and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and devote your heart, your life, give your soul to Christ. Because then you will know the Savior in your heart. But if you are a believer and you find that there is a great lacking here, it's a prayer to begin to pray, Lord, make the mind of the Savior in me. Let the Word of God, then, it must be followed and obeyed. We pray, Lord, put that truth in my soul and then bring it to my mind. Because so often we're influenced by the outside things of the world, and too much influence there, well, it pushes out the other influence that is of the Lord. And we need to pray, oh God, make me submissive to the Word and write its truth upon my heart so that it comes back to me and it's useful in instruction and in conviction. And to pray that I will have submission to the will of God, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit each day. For if we walk in the Spirit, the apostle said, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I close with this hymn. We sang already one verse of it by Ina Ogden, wrote in 1877. Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until, that's a good word, until we are blessed with the fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. We pray, Lord, empty us of self and fill us with your power and your Spirit, that we might live and work for the Master. Because, my dear friend, a glass of cold water given in the name of Christ, you will not lose your reward. Let our lives be for the honor and the glory of King Jesus, and for the extension of His kingdom. Let's please bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that this word that we have read from Matthew 25, we would come to a deeper understanding. We would grasp the reality that one day very soon we will be standing in thy holy presence. And all the things of life, and all the issues that trouble us, and all the reasons and excuses we make why we cannot serve, they'll all be blown away. Dear Lord, I pray that we will come with renewed zeal and heart. We will give ourselves unreservedly to thy service. So, dear Father, speak to any who are still without Christ today. Speak to them effectually. Bring them to the cross. And Lord, help us, we pray, to live out our Christian life in the real time of tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as we get into the schedule of life again, the activity of the fall program, all these things. Lord, may we be devoted for the service of the Savior. So part us now in thy fear, Lord, with thy rich blessing, and make us a blessing one to another. We pray all these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.